You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dong. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday, everybody. Pretty much gorgeous throughout the state today. I hope you're getting to enjoy it. We had a beautiful weekend. Very nice for the end of, September. I went to not only one, but two Brewers games, which was good fun, even though they didn't pull out the W yesterday. And it looks like we finally may be getting an indication sometime this afternoon about who they may be playing come Tuesday afternoon, Aaron. It's been a long wait to see exactly who and when the games will be going off for this wild card.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see, but cool that you went to two games. I didn't get to go to either, but my family, I finally convinced them to go see just a bit outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Isn't it so good?
It is. I loved that movie. We did a whole group of us that went to see it because it was so, for any baseball fan, but especially a Brewers fan, that is a special, special movie. I was really excited because ahead of the wild card series, a friend of mine and I bought like a big group block of tickets. And of course the trick is I am here with each and every one of you celebrating the Brewers winning season from 2 to 4 p.m. So I was waiting with bated breath because we bought tickets for the Wednesday game. That was the big group block. And I was very, very much hoping against hope that that the game that I happened to buy the tickets for would be not during this time that I love to share with each and every one of you every day. And shoo, that game starting at 6:38 p.m., not to be confused with 6:30, but 6:38. So I get to go with a big group of friends on Wednesday for that second game in the wild card. It should be special. And my dad's birthday is on October 1st. So happy early birthday, Dad. And whenever the Brewers make the postseason, it's like I have the ready-made gift for Dad already sorted out. It is postseason tickets. So my dad's going to be joining me and a bunch of friends for the game on Wednesday. Thank you to the baseball gods for making the Wednesday game the evening game so that I can attend with my dad. Otherwise, of course, he would have gone, taken my two tickets and taken one of his buddies. But there we go. Are you going to be watching those playoff games, or at least the one on Wednesday that's at 6:38? And if there's a third game at 7:38.
I know I will be. One of my roommates is a huge baseball fan. He is a Cubs fan though, but I won't hold it against him this time. But it means that usually if there's a big baseball game on, it is on at my house.
Yes. Yes. And does he have all the different like outlets? Cause now you can't just assume you're going to be able to watch it on Bally's or whatever. You need three or four different subscriptions, which is so frustrating. But at least the playoffs, that's going to be broadcast. You're going to be able to see that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he has at least every way to watch the Cubs, but we haven't had a problem watching Brewers either. And I know he has a Brewers shirt. He has a hat, so he can blend in when he needs to.
Good. He doesn't actually live and breathe every day the I-94 rivalry. That's good. Aaron and I will be checking it out. I'll be sure to share my impressions of that game this coming Wednesday with each and every one of you. And again, happy early birthday, Dad. I can't wait to go to that playoff game with you. Folks, of course, as you have come to expect from me, we have a packed show. We always seem to have a packed show. Today, no exception. At 2:30, we're going to be joined by Brendan Duke, the Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. That is going, we're going to be talking about Kamala Harris's opportunity economy. And that's going to set up an incredible discussion. I know I piqued your interest last week, Aaron, and I assume many of you listeners, when I started talking about the American Sustainability Act last week. Today we finally got Congressional Representative of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District. She's going to be joining us. Summer Lee will be joining us. Representative Lee will be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We're going to be talking about the Sustainability Act, which Representative Lee introduced last week. To me, it is some of the most painfully obvious suggestions for how to help support wages for people that actually work for a living while making our tax code more fair. You are not going to want to miss that today. Very lucky to have Representative Lee joining us at 3. At 3:30, we have got Tom Perez, the Director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs for the White House and Senior Advisor to President Biden. Tom Perez will be joining us to quickly give us an overview of all of the assistance and executive orders that President Biden has signed to help those that are in need as a result of Hurricane Helene up and down the East Coast. So you're not going to want to miss that, Tom Perez, at 3:30. And of course, my friend and yours, Dom Salvia of the Dom Salvia Show, will also be joining us in that 3:30 block. But let's start with some very important local breaking news. I think just of a couple hours ago, the absentee ballot box thief, the Hamburglar of elections, if you will, the Wausau mayor has finally returned the absentee drop box to the Wausau city clerk. I mean, Aaron, I don't know why this took so long. Why was he holding on to it? I think, you know, trying to score points as a play to the base. But come on. I mean, this is beyond ridiculous here. Finally, he has returned that. Some statements coming out from the ACLU of Wisconsin. Trisha Zunker, who is on the executive committee of the ACLU of Wisconsin, had to say this: the right to vote is fundamental. Every citizen should have equal access to the ballot box to choose those representatives who will fight for the issues that matter to them. Drop boxes are a safe, secure, and convenient way to vote and provide a solution for those voters who may need it the most. You know, like people that may need to get their ballots ahead of time because they have transportation difficulties, you know, like older people, again, who Eric Hovde thinks probably shouldn't be voting anyways. Absentee ballots were issued starting September 19th, and Wausau citizens were denied accessible voting during this time period because the ballot box was removed, Ms. Zunker continued. Furthermore, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling on this issue is clear. There must be accountability here. No one is above the law. Again, that's Trisha Zunker of the ACLU of Wisconsin. It's about time. And it just seems to me, and I'm curious to hear what all of you think. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We have laws that criminalize election interference. Do you think that the mayor of Wausau should be charged with a crime? I do. I mean, I won't bury the lead here. I absolutely do. What this, again, the law on this is extremely clear. There is no question that election clerks exclusively have the right to decide where the drop boxes are placed, whether to use them, etc. The mayor violated the law here. There's no reasonable argument otherwise. And he did it as a political stunt. I mean, the guy put a hard hat on, brought his little dolly, and, you know, had somebody take a picture of him because he thought, again, a little bit of performative politics these days seems to be the word of the day or the rule of the day for MAGA-leaning Republicans. And again, this is trading in straight-up election lies. It is, I think, upsetting and confusing to voters. But let's be sure that the record gets set straight here on the Maggie Dawn Show. There's no question. Drop boxes are safe and secure. If you use them, your vote will be counted. period, full stop. If you have any questions about where to drop off your absentee ballot, please contact your local city clerk. Or if you're in a county that is a bit more rural, you can contact your county clerk. Either your city or county clerks should be able to assist you. Again, the place to start and go, if you have any questions at all, is always www.myvotewi.gov. You can always find good information there. But this, to me, was just beyond. The Hamburglar of drop boxes. Wausau mayor, I think the guy should be charged. What do you think? 855-752-4842. Of course, all of this coming on the heels of the Dodge County Sheriff, who I think also may have broken election laws by effectively bullying city clerks in Ashopin, Eustisford, and the town of Beaver Dam. He sent them these emails and said, oh, I have serious concerns about drop boxes. No, you don't. They're not serious concerns. You're a partisan hack who wants to stir up election misinformation and lies and help suppress the vote. That's what you're going for. These aren't serious concerns. This is partisan hackery at its worst. And you're lying to the public. He was lying to these clerks in Ashopin, Eustisford, and the town of Beaver Dam. He got them to stop using the drop boxes. Each of these city clerks backed down. And it's interesting, he was contacted about this, and in a phone interview, here's what the guy said. See if you can even track this, Aaron and others, if you're listening, see if this guy's explanation for bullying city clerks into getting rid of drop boxes makes any sense. Again, this is the Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt. He said this in an interview, quote, the reason was entirely to protect the integrity of our election processes and to protect the law as laid out by the Supreme Court in this most recent Supreme Court decision. Okay, let's pause there. No, it's not about election integrity. Drop boxes are safe and secure. Also, no, it's not about the Supreme Court's most recent decision because they concluded that it was entirely within the discretion of city clerks about whether to use the drop boxes and where to place them. I'm going to dig in more deeply into what Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt said because it's a bunch of hooey, and it's important that we realize that there seems to be this concerted attack by MAGA operatives in elected offices across the state to rob you of your vote. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in a moment here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842.
Keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Change, change, change.
I think it's time we tell the sheriff of Dodge County and the mayor of Wausau that we are not fools, let alone a chain of fools, and that their election lies, misdirection, and suppression of our votes here in this state will not stand. In fact, they're the fools. This all sort of blew up over the last week and a half, and it 2 weeks, if you include this controversy over Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt basically bullying three city clerks into not using drop boxes. You layer on top of that, the mayor of Wausau engaging in active election interference by doing something that he had zero legal authority to do, and that is remove the drop box that the Wausau city clerk had begun to install to collect ballots. This, to me, is a very concerning pattern that seems only to be happening on the MAGA side of the aisle. I don't see Democrats removing drop boxes. I don't see that happening. I don't see sheriffs elected in more blue-leaning counties bullying clerks to use drop boxes. I don't see that happening. And I was reading you all a bit about what the sheriff of Dodge County, Dale Schmidt, said when he was asked about these bullying emails. And by the way, all three of these city clerks for the towns of Ashopin, Hustisford, and Beaver Dam all ended up backing down. They were going to have drop boxes. None of them are anymore because the sheriff bullied them. There were veiled threats in his email. For example, he told the Ashopin clerk that her community was the only one in Dodge County that still planned to use a drop box after these other two towns caved after his initial bullying round. And he said further that he wasn't planning on citing to Ashopin in his press release, but as one of the towns not using it, but that he would specify in his press release that it was the only town in Dodge County accepting ballots via Dropbox. If that isn't bullying and intimidation, like threatening, oh, I'm going to put it out there that you're using Dropbox in this very red-leaning county and see if I can scare you into not using it. And the Ashopin clerk backed down less than 15 minutes later because real death threats occur to people, not just here in the state, but across the country. We know this is happening. But I wanted to finish this statement from Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt because it was really a head scratcher. So first of all, he lies twice. The reason I was bullying, and I'm adding some, the reason, and I'm going to say this, I, the sheriff, was bullying city clerks, that's my addition, was entirely to protect the integrity of our election processes. No, it's not. That's a lie. And he knows it. That's garbage. And to protect the laws laid out by the Supreme Court in its most recent decision. No, that's a lie. He knows it. That's not what the Supreme Court decided. And you don't need a JD to understand that. He also has lawyers that he could call to help him understand because he clearly doesn't understand or is actively lying about it. He then goes on to say this. If there is any claim that there is election fraud as a result of the drop boxes, so he's talking about like in the future, if there is any claim in the future that there is election fraud as a result of the drop boxes, I, as the sheriff, am responsible to investigate those. Okay, so what? There aren't any current claims of fraud related to drop boxes except the made up ones that have never, ever, ever been concluded on an actual evidentiary basis to have any merit at all whatsoever. Zero. So none of that has happened yet. So why are you getting involved now? There is no claim of fraud. He then concluded by saying this. Part of my job is to make sure that laws are followed before they're broken. I just want to say that one again, because this one's rich. This is the head scratcher. Part of my job is to make sure that laws are followed before they're broken. Huh? Say what? And so your solution is to make it harder for people to vote and to bully and interfere in the election. I have a question. Hey, Attorney General Josh Call, have you cracked open an investigation into election interference by Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt? Because I can tell you what, he's probably not going to invest himself to be sure that he's not breaking the law before the law is broken, whatever the heck that meant. I mean, it just doesn't even hold any water at all. And likewise, of course, I believe that AG Call should also be investigating the mayor of Wausau. The district attorney apparently has a complaint from the Wausau city clerk, but where is the attorney general on all of this? Because all of this election interference by MAGA, these election lies by MAGA, all of that was then amped up and turned up about 1,000 decibels late last week when Representative Tom Tiffany got on his Twitter and lied about duplicate ballots that were sent out, absentee ballots accidentally sent out in the city of Madison. He's got over this post had over 1 million views. And he was lying about these things. He's basically claiming that it's evidence of election fraud. I will tell you this, having been someone who worked in government and was one of the legal advisors to a county clerk, sometimes ballots are sent and there's a mistake on them. And sometimes you have to send corrected ballots to people. This happens because human beings sometimes make mistakes. But what's done at the back end, nobody gets to vote twice. Those ballots are verified as they're received. That's part of why it takes counties in the most populous counties of the state longer to count their absentee ballots, because there is this verification process. No one, and I'm going to say this again, no one is permitted to vote twice. This is misinformation. This is election lies by a member of Congress. Shame on you, Representative Tiffany. Shame on you, the mayor of Wausau. And shame on you, the sheriff of Dodge County. It's high time we turn off the MAGA lie machine when it comes to elections. Basically, you can't rely on anything that they say. Zero. When we come back, we're going to turn the page and talk economics with Brendan Duke, the Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress. What is Kamala Harris promising to do for you and your family and the middle class when we return? If you're on the phone, stay there. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Join the conversation.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Spent the first half hour today sort of recapping what I'm going to call widespread election lies and election fraud engaged in by MAGA Republicans. And let's remember, I thought historian Heather Cox Richardson, who I interviewed on Friday, helped provide us with a really important distinction between what is election fraud and what is voter fraud, because they're not the same things. Voter fraud is when someone who is not legally entitled to vote votes. That's what it is. And yes, have there been singular instances of this over the last, say, decade or so? Yeah. But even according to the extraordinarily conservative Heritage Foundation, the very authors of Project 2025, who studied 20 years of election data, they only found like 30 instances over 20 years of election data and tens and hundreds of millions of votes cast. They've only found that many instances. There has never, ever, not one scintilla of evidence that any group of people or system or anything else has ever created so much voter fraud. In other words, people not legally entitled to vote voting, that could have ever altered the outcome of any election from dog catcher to president of the United States. There is no evidence of that. Election fraud, the systemic attack on election processes and procedures to make it confusing and to suppress votes and to take from us, the people, the expression of our will as we do so through the voting and the balloting process. That kind of election fraud is engaged almost every day by MAGA Republicans. And that just happened in spades over the last 2 weeks here in the state of Wisconsin, by the mayor of Wausau stealing the Hamburglar of drop boxes, the sheriff of Dodge County bullying local clerks into not using drop boxes, and then, of course, Congressman Tom Tiffany lying about all of it. Jesse from Madison, do you agree? I'm wondering where the attorney general is. Like, let's get busy here.
I got it. There's so many election lies through a few, so little time, right? So I just wanted to make 2 points. One is that, you know, the Dodge County Sheriff is sort of right. All good lies are half-truths, right? So, yeah, it is the sheriff's job to do some crime prevention. However, that's not what's going on here. That doesn't fall under this. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have a JD. You tell me. I think threatening public officials, elected officials, is itself a crime. So he's actually guilty of that. He should probably be, you know, cleaning up his own backyard. And two, Josh Call is really disappointing. He is the Merrick Garland of Wisconsin, and I do not mean that in a good way. He's done two important things, but seemingly both at the behest of our governor. One is helping restore abortion rights, absolutely mandatory. And two, getting our maps redrawn, also mandatory. Neither of those of his own hand. Not only has he not investigated and prosecuted the fake elector scheme, which is the fraud of felonious of the highest order, but who actually booked the room in the Capitol for those fake electors to meet? Who's the part of the head of this conspiracy? It's none other than Scott Fitzgerald. How come he's not facing felony charges for fraudulently engaging in this conspiracy?
Yeah, all excellent points, Jesse. This is what I think Heather Cox Richardson, and I'm now going to use her construct, mean by election fraud. What Senator Ron Johnson did, what Scott Fitzgerald did, that is election fraud, folks. Troy, from Mount Horeb, you say what this afternoon?
Well, I agree with Jesse, and I would just like to finalize with my, how do we draft Maggie Dawn to be the next primary Josh Call and be our next attorney general?
Thanks so much, Troy. I really appreciate that. I can tell you one thing is for certain. In my many, many years, over a decade, nearly 15 years of government service, I have never taken a job with my eye on my next job. I want to say that again. I never worked in government with an eye to what my next job would be. In other words, it was always a labor of loving service, not a labor of ego. And I will make this comment just very generally. It has been my experience, and I negotiated with a lot of attorneys general when I represented Milwaukee County and prosecuted the civil cases against opioid manufacturers and distributors. And so AGs wanted that money, one credited to their lawsuits. And by the way, AG Call never brought one of those lawsuits. But they wanted that money going to the state coffers. So again, they could claim credit for that. My experience with AGs generally, I'm not speaking about Josh Call specifically, is this. They tend to be very, very, very much concerned about what their next job in government might be. And those next jobs in government are typically things like governor and senator. Not that there's anything wrong with being ambitious, but often I think the focus, the eye, they take their eye off the ball. It's to do this job to the absolute best of your ability, not to be worried about the next office that you're running for. Very briefly, Jean from Eau Claire, you say what this afternoon?
Boy, I second the other two guys in front of me 100%. And I definitely think that if you would consider running for that position, it'd be a blessing to our state. So thank you very much for taking my call. And boy, I hope you would consider something like that because you would be outstanding. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Jean. Very sweet. I appreciate the calls from everybody. Next, I want to bring on our very special guest every Monday in the 2:30 to 3 o'clock half hour block. You're going to hear from different thought leaders, different researchers, different experts from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Brendan Duke, the Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He previously was the senior advisor at the White House National Economic Council, the staff director of the U.S. Senate Finance Subcommittee on Taxation. He's worked on budget and policy priorities and the U.S. Congressional Joint Economic Committee. I think this gentleman might know a thing or two about taxes and economics here in the United States. Welcome, Brendan. So happy to have you.
I'll try not to bore your guests too much.
Oh, never. They're used to it. I'm an economist. I talk about this nerdy stuff all of the time. And in fact, we do a segment every day called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money about tax policy, about economics. Because if your interest is childcare, that's about tax policy and economics, right? If you are a conservative and you think we should be doing more on the border and with immigration, guess what that's about, folks? Tax policy and economics. I want to start here, Brendan. You know, Vice President Harris gave a speech last week that I think laid out an absolutely affirmative case that she is a president for working people and for the middle class. And I simply have been able to identify not a single policy proposal from Donald Trump that comes even close to what the vice president is proposing as a package of proposals. We all know you don't get everything on your wish list as a candidate. But even if she's able to accomplish some of the things that she proposes to do, it would so vastly exceed anything that Donald Trump is proposing to do that, quote unquote, may help the middle class. And in fact, much of what he proposes would hurt the middle class and cost Wisconsinites more money. Am I missing the big picture here? Or is that a pretty fair assessment of what we're looking at?
That's exactly right, Maggie. So I think Vice President Harris really laid out kind of three planks I saw in her platform there. The first is cutting taxes for 100 million Americans. So expanding the child tax credit, expanding the earned income tax credit for low-wage workers, putting money directly in middle-income Americans' pockets and low-wage workers' pockets, right? The second plank was actually a really pro-business one, which is about expanding the number of startups we have. We have a huge startup boom happening in the United States across the country, including in Wisconsin. And she wants to keep that momentum going. So she wants to make the deduction for startup costs. She wants to multiply that by 10 to $50,000 to just keep that boom in startups going. And then the third part, which she kind of laid out at the end, is the idea of enhancing U.S. manufacturing. So I think that's the last piece that she was putting together. You know, the Biden-Harris administration has really made that a key priority of theirs. She wants to keep that momentum going. And it creates a really nice contrast with what Donald Trump is proposing, which is this giant tariff on your coffee, on your bananas, on medicine, on clothing, on everything you buy, costing a typical family $4,000 a year. Vice President Harris is going to bring back manufacturing, but do that by asking, you know, the wealthy to pay their fair share instead of asking middle-income and low-income Americans to pay more at Walmart and Menards.
Yeah, the Trump tax, right? It's so outstanding to me because at the same time that Donald Trump is proposing to tax people effectively through a consumption tax, right, which is a sales tax of types, that is what tariffs do because it makes everything more expensive to purchase, and that is more expensive to purchase consumer goods. And if any piece of the consumer good that you end up buying is imported, and let's be honest, so much of what we purchase has some component or subpart that was imported, all of that gets more expensive for people that consume things, and the people that consume things are the middle class. So he's going to increase, there's going to be a Trump tax on the middle class, and at the same time, he's proposing to cut corporate taxes and taxes on the 100 millionaire and billionaire classes even more than he already has. Why aren't people absolutely rioting in the streets over this? And I mean that metaphorically, not literally people. But it's like, I'm going to tax the middle class more. I'm telling you I'm going to do that. And meanwhile, I'm going to give my billionaire buddies a tax break. And people think that he's, quote, good on the economy. I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense, especially, you know, he kind of pitches these tariffs as, oh, I care about workers, you know, I care about manufacturing, that sort of thing. And, you know, Vice President Harris and Joe Biden, they have put on tariffs, but what he's proposing is 10 times larger than what he did during his first term. It's an order of magnitude different. I mean, somebody told me, and I think this is the right way to think about it, you know, if you have a headache, you might take an aspirin. That doesn't mean you should take 20 aspirin, is basically where this kind of is. And I think a key part of it is, again, if you're talking about certain strategic industries that we want to build up, you know, China's not the nicest country in the world to try to counter them. That makes all the sense in the world. But he's taxing bananas, which we do not produce here. He's taxing coffee, which we'll only produce in one state, Hawaii, which is responsible for less than 1% of all the coffee we drink. Tea, mangoes, strawberries. If you've got a toddler who likes to eat berries all the time, which I certainly do, that's just going to drive up your costs. So again, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, if we're, again, you know, just strategically on things like airplanes and stuff like that. Okay, like that, I can get it. But why should Americans pay more at the grocery store so we can cut taxes for big grocery companies? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, strategic tariffs, one of the tortured metaphors I like to use, is strategic tariffs are often made as part of an overall, what I'm going to call sort of foreign policy negotiation process. It is, again, in industries that have a lot of tech, or it is very, it's surgical, right? You're using a scalpel. It's the chess match of tariffs. That's not what Donald Trump is proposing. He's not talking about a scalpel. He's talking about an axe, or just blowing up the chessboard on things that we have not tariffed for a really, really long time. And the last time we did try to lay tariffs at the scale on and plunge the country into a Great Depression, if you don't believe me, just watch the portion of what's the movie with, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Ben Stein talking about this, because it was a punchline. Donald Trump's economic promises are a punchline from a 1980s cult classic hit movie. I don't know how to explain it any better than that. But since we've got you, again, my special guest this half hour, Brendan Duke, Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, let's dig in here. I wanted to talk a little bit about these small businesses and helping startups. You mentioned that she wants to increase effectively the tax deduction for startups. We're going to dig a bit into that, about home starts, incentives there, the child income tax credit, the earned income tax credit, all with Brendan Duke. When we return here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, don't miss it.
Don't keep sweating what I do, 'cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out. If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined this half hour by my very special guest, Brendan Duke, the Senior Director for Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome back, Brendan. I wanted to dig in a little bit on these three planks, or these three major pillars. Another one I'd throw in there is trying to address housing, maybe as a fourth plank, right? Because so many people, especially here in the state of Wisconsin, are feeling the pinch on housing. But let's start with this commitment to small businesses. And this, again, I didn't realize that the small business startup tax deduction was a whopping $5,000. I don't know anyone who's started a business recently for what does that do? Get you like your lease and maybe a month and a half of payroll if you're lucky. Kamala Harris is proposing increasing that to $50,000. But again, you mentioned that there's been a historic number of small business starts during the Biden-Harris administration. Put this all in context, the vice president's commitment to small businesses and this as one of her key planks for her economic plan.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that just hasn't gotten enough attention is we are in the midst of a small business and startup boom. So basically after the Great Recession, the number of startups, that mean firms, that are less than 1 year old, plummeted, and we finally reached back at that pre-Great Recession level, more than 15 years ago in 2022 for the first time, and we maintain that in 2023. And it's something that happened across the country. I think it's really important. Wisconsin, the number of startups grew between 2019 and 2023 by 36%. That's more than California. So, I mean, it's just a really national startup boom that's not just about Silicon Valley or Wall Street. It's happening in Wisconsin even. And I think, as I said, she's really trying to capitalize that by, multiplying that small startup deduction from a measly $5,000 to $50,000. So folks in places like Wisconsin can, you know, live up to that dream. Because I do think for a lot of Americans, not every American, not for me, but for a lot of Americans, that is their dream, is starting their own business. And I think that deduction really will put that within reach.
It's a major deal, especially if you're trying to get through that critical first year when you've started a business. That may very well be the difference between whether or not your small business makes it or doesn't. Brendan, if we can turn a minute to talking about what the vice president proposes in terms of trying to help people with these incredible exploding housing costs. What are some of her proposals specifically addressing housing?
Yeah, so the centerpiece of it is building more homes. So she set up a goal of creating 3 million more units, because there's no way we are going to address the housing shortage and high housing prices without having more places for people to live. So that is the centerpiece of it. And she does that with an investment in various tax credits to builders to build that housing. So tax credits to build low-income units, tax credits to build units for homeowners to buy, for first-generation home buyers, and, you know, for people to fix up their homes, dilapidated homes. So that is the centerpiece, is building that. But that's not all going to happen right away. And I think a big frustration people have is politicians say, oh, you know, we're going to do this investment and it'll pay off, you know, a million years from now. So as a bridge, what she's proposing is a down payment assistance for 2 years, I think $25,000 for first-time home buyers, right? And so that is to, you know, help them, you know, make this bridge as, you know, interest rates hopefully come down, as these investments to build 3 million new homes come online, to help them afford homes. And there's a key part of that, which is, you know, those folks who are ready to buy a home but just can't get together the down payment, them moving out of rental housing will bring down the cost of rental housing because their unit gets free. And then you see that trickle all the way through. So I think it's a really comprehensive plan. And what I like is there's this short-term, long-term connection that, yes, I think really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, that she's thinking, again, not just about the long-term sort of, and a lot of economic policy does take a bit of time for it to take root and take hold, but she's also looking at that short-term bridge for people. And part of that short-term bridge that, as an economist, particularly piqued my interest was not just the down payment support, which I think is absolutely critical, especially for Black folks to be able to get there. We have locked our communities up by redlining and discriminatory lending practices and housing practices. This has been a big challenge. But these two additional pieces, one is looking very carefully at huge corporations, private equity, and hedge funds that are buying up massive quantities of housing, especially in the Sun Belt and in other states, as well as looking at the companies that basically are engaging in price fixing at above market rents for rental units, which is having this trickle down. Trickle down isn't a thing, but it has a domino, is probably a better way to express it, impact on rental housing throughout the rental market, not just in regions, but it has been a massive problem. We know in the state of Texas, there's direct evidence of this kind of price fixing going on. Brendan, last thoughts for Wisconsin voters out there that are looking at these and comparing these different policies.
Yeah, I think a big thing is that a lot of people want to sit down and really figure out what Vice President Harris is proposing. Last week, in addition to the speech, they put out an 84-page report on what she's planning to do with the economy. I think it's kamalaharris.com/opportunity, where you can go check that out and read it. And I think really, you know, judge for yourself. There's also Project 2025 if you want to see what the other side is proposing. So I think that really kind of lays out, you know, what the different options are and what she's put down on paper and what she wants to do.
That's kamalaharris.com/opportunity. Go check it out. Thanks so much, Brendan Duke, the Senior Director for Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Folks, we're going to be back with Maggie and the Millionaires talking money about the American Sustainability Act with Representative Summerlee from Pennsylvania after the top of the hour. News, weather, and sports are next, but you're not going to want to miss that, as the most common sense economic tax wage proposals I've heard of, in addition to the vice president's, in many years. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.